read together from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, and they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and they followed him. We've been living with these words: "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." It's an invitation of Jesus to live in a certain way. It's an invitation of Jesus to live with him and learn from him how to live. We are all living a certain way. We've been taught to live a certain way. We can say that we are following someone. And Jesus asks us to reconsider our ideas about life. Here is a way to go through life with him, learning from him. It's also an invitation to consider our ideas about him. He asks us to repent and to believe. To repent means to change the way that we think. About what? About life. About him. And then to trust him with our lives. I trust him. He knows. He's able. He is good. I will follow him. If I do this, Jesus says, you will enter into the kingdom, the rule of God. You'll move to a place, a certain way of life with God under the rulership of God. It's a wonderful place. This is life. This is truly life. He says, this is eternal life. The moment you do it, you receive eternal life. The only definition that I know of that we have in the Bible of eternal life is John 17:3, given by Jesus when he said, "This is eternal life, that you may know me." If you know me, if you're getting to know me, if you live with me, you learn from me, you will experience eternal life, the type of life that will just go on forever. But it's a certain type of, it's a certain quality of life that you will start experience. This is what it means to be saved. That is good news. So if you decide to follow him, you will discover you're not the only one. Other people made that decision as well. And this journey is not just about you and him, it's about you and him and the others that are following him. But that's not all. He said, I will make you fishers of men. What does that mean? He's speaking to fishermen, Simon and his brother Andrew, and he tells them, I will give you a new passion. You have a passion for fishes and everything that comes through fishes into your life. the connections, the money, the everything. I'll give you a greater passion. A passion for others. What Jesus is saying is that if you live with me and you learn from me, you will gradually become like me. I have this passion for other people. I have a passion for people that are suffering. I've got a passion for this world. Things aren't right. And I want to restore it. I want to make things right. I'm giving my life for the kingdom to come. And I want to ask you to join me in this kingdom that has to come. So if you follow me, it's a life with me, with others, for others. That is the journey you're invited to in this life. Somebody asked Dallas Willard once, what is necessary if you want to become a disciple, a follower of Jesus? And he said, obviously, one would feel great admiration and love. Would really believe that Jesus is the most magnificent person who has ever lived. One would be quite sure that to belong to him, to be taken into what he's doing throughout this world, so that what he's doing becomes your life, is the greatest opportunity one will ever have. This life, deeper, closer, and further. So today, just these words, I will make you fishers of men. This is an invitation to a journey of othering. It's the verb for others. I'm not sure whether you would find it in the dictionary, but since I'm still learning English, I can use it. Othering. And the other invitation is one of becoming. Becoming. So the first invitation. This is how it worked in the life of Peter. Peter decided to follow Jesus, but then Jesus invited him to start to live in community. You've got to share your life with the others that are following me. It's a very important type of relationship in your life. He didn't get it right. He didn't come immediately. Well, at a stage, he decided, I'm out. He left the community, Luke 22. It didn't go well with him. A little girl came his way and she said, you're one of the disciples. He says, no, I'm not. He lost his integrity. You know, he didn't do well without the community. And Jesus looked for him when he left the community completely and he went back to his fishing trade. And Jesus asked him, do you love me? And he says, Lord, I didn't give up on you. I love you. I gave up on the community. It's tough, man. You've got strange people that are following you. And Jesus said, if you love me, feed my sheep. There's a hunger. There's a need, Peter. And you're gifted. You've got a role to play in this whole thing called the kingdom. And I want you to live in community and make and help the community work. Later on, he received a vision. Now, vision is a spontaneous flow of images while you're awake. If you receive a spontaneous flow of images while you're asleep, we call it a dream. And it's from God. Interesting. It's from God. And he realized through this vision that I'm living with an unconscious bias towards others. I'm living in community now, and I'm living with Jesus. But there's this other people. They don't belong to my tribe. They don't believe in Jesus. You know, different culture, different language, different faith, different color, different everything. I've got nothing in common with them. And Jesus challenged him and said, Peter, it's about them. It's about them. Go further with your life. Further. There's another boundary I want you to cross now. I love those people. I love them. I love the world. And I'm dreaming of restoring, of redeeming this whole world. Become part of it. See, here's the challenge. We can live with God, but it can be a very egocentric mindset. It's me and Jesus. Huh? I've got this wonderful relationship with him. He's leading me, he's guiding me, he's helping me, he's going to take me to heaven. This is love. It's just me and him. That's one of the problems of the age we're living in. Very, very individualistic. And that's not following Jesus. That's not. He said, you cannot say you're following me and you not living in community and sharing your life deeply. Of course, the community is my body. That's where you will find me. That's how ministry will come to you. That's where you will find yourself. I'm inviting you to another mindset, a social mindset. It's bigger. Discover the people that you're living with, that you're sharing your life with. Look at new eyes to them. They're made in the image of God, and every one of us has got something very particular, stronger than anything else in our lives, that's got a tint of the character and the ability of Jesus. It's your gift. It's your calling to bring this. You will only discover that. So I want you, a socio-eccentric mindset. But then there's something else. I want you to move beyond your own tribe, beyond your father, your mother. Leave. Go further. A world-centric mindset. Where it's about others. Where it's about humanity. Where it's about the planet. Your life is too big, and your soul is too vast, and it would never be satisfied just to live for you and even for the people that are like you. Only when you transcend and move beyond and have something to live outside of yourself that holds no benefit to yourself, will you find the life that is truly life. That's the invitation. I'm busy with this big thing. Peter, that's why I want you to teach all people. Listen what the message says. Go out and train everyone you meet in this way. Peter, remember everyone. Not just your own, everyone. Train them in this way of life. Then instruct them in the practice of all I've commanded you. This instruction in a practice that you need. I'll be with you as you do this. You've got your part to play. Live this life. And that was called the calling in the first church. Have you heard the call? Because Mark said Jesus called his disciples and say, follow me and come and join me in the work. Have you heard the call? That the church actually is called the called ones. Ecclesia is the Greek word for church, and it's made up of two verbs in the Greek language, kaleo and ek, called out of. You are the people that are called out of the ordinary way of life. We are that. That's our new identity. So you've got to change the way that we think about ourselves. And that's how people spoke about the church. They are the called ones. They said, they've heard voices that said, come here, follow me, do this. They're the called ones. Have you heard the call? Have you heard the call? Peter heard it a few times. Jesus told him a few times, follow me. It's just not once. I don't know, perhaps your calling gets vague. It's not burning anymore in your heart. You didn't understand it properly. A lot of reasons, but he will come to you more than once. A few years ago, I was in prayer, and I prayed a certain type of prayer, old prayer in tradition of the church. It's called by the guy that popularized it, Ignatius Gospel Contemplation. We call it the prayer of imagination, where you use your imagination in prayer. If you want to know more about this, you can find the instructions on the web about the prayer of imagination, Verbeeldingsgebed. And so, just meditated and used my imagination on the few words that Jesus decided to went into ministry. He went to, decided to go around and to preach. And I used my imagination how it happened. He's with his mom. It was only me, his mom, Mary, and himself. Sitting together at a table, there was a fire in the, on the side. It was a bit dark. It was the evening after we've ate something, and it was a wooden table, an old wooden table and chair. And so Jesus said, "Mom, the time has come. You know, my whole life has been leading up to this moment. And now is the time for me to go out." Like my nephew, John the Baptist, he's going around. You see thousands of people are turning to God. And I've got this urge. I've got to go around and teach and preach and live the life and demonstrate the kingdom of God that's coming. I'm very important. And his mom said, "Oh, you know, Dad is dead. Joseph died. And I'm alone now. It's going to be tough for me. But I'm okay. I'm okay. I will make it. I'm glad for you. Are you sure it's the time?" And then she said what every mom would say, "Just be careful. Just be careful. Of course, Mama would be, and I would, you remember, you've got a house," and you know, the conversation. And I chipped in, and I thought I would give Jesus something to take with him on his travelings. And tomorrow morning, I would do the gospel contemplation again, and I'll visit him at another site, another incident that we read of, and I'll be there with the apostles, and I will ask Peter some questions, you know, and everything. And as I gave it to him, he said, "Thank you." Now, this is active imagination. But sometimes you move to passive imagination, where that movie that you're making takes on a life of its own. And suddenly it happened to me. I was just imagining it. And Jesus turned around, and it was not active imagination. I did not plan it. And he looked me straight into the eyes. And he said, "Kom saam met my." Oh, it's wonderful words. "Come with me." The new translation of "volg my" is "kom saam met my." He said it in Afrikaans. I've got bad news for some of you. He speaks Afrikaans. He said clearly, "Kom saam met my." You know, it's something happened on my inside when I saw that in my imagination. I felt like he wanted me to be with him. I felt like he wanted to be with me. I felt like he's got a purpose for my life. I felt that I've got something big to do, and I'm not sure what it is. It's important. I felt that he's inviting me to live close with him. And he will share his life with me. He will show me things. He will teach me things. My heart was bouncing. When I shared this experience once with a friend of mine, we were talking about imagination of that. He's a bit of a critical guy. He said, "Johan, I don't want to throw cold water over you, but what if it was just your imagination? What if that was just a fantasy? It was just, you just thought it up. It's not real." And I realized, well, I thought of words that C.S. Lewis said. I said, there's a big difference between fantasy and imagination. Fantasy says Mary had a little lamb. Imagination says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Listen here. I don't know whether he really told me at that moment, but what I know is he is calling me. It is real. It is real, and I know it on my inside. So, have you heard the voice? Do you have a calling? Do you have a calling? Do you just have a career? Now, Jesus asked Peter to leave his career, but doesn't ask everybody to leave his career. But what he asks all of us, to relativize our career, to not look at our career as the source of our life anymore. For some of us, it gives us everything. It gives us money. It provides for us. It gives me more than physical possibilities. It gives me security. It gives me my identity. If you ask me, what do? I tell you that's my identity. It gives me acknowledgement. It gives me connection. It gives me friends. It gives me my life. It's my source of my life. And Jesus says, I'm inviting you to live another way. Your life is too big for that. Your life is bigger than survival. Get out of the survival mode. Live for your calling. It will take you to other places. And some of us sacrifice everything on the altar of our careers. We sacrifice ourselves. We sacrifice our families. We sacrifice our souls. We sacrifice our consciousness. And he says, it's wrong. There's another way to live. A career is something that you choose. A calling is something that God gives you. Pharaoh had a career. Moses had a calling. Potiphar had a career. Joseph had a calling. Haman had a career. Esther had a calling. You know, Herod had a career. John of the Baptist had a calling. Pilate had a career. Jesus had a calling. We can go on. It won't always take you to places that you like. You might not always get the acknowledgement that you need. You might not get the success that you need. Ask Jeremiah. It doesn't give you everything that you always need, but it will transform you. It will always come with a price. They had to leave their nets, but you will play it gladly. You will pay it gladly because you found the pearl of great price, the kingdom of God, and you would let it go. Next thing, you will become, in short, do you think it's important to become? Is it important to become? Or have you reached it yet? It's the nature of being human to become. We're not just human beings. We're also human doings. But actually, we're human becomings. In our being and in our doing, we become. We are born, not yet, fully human. Irenaeus, the old church father, said, the glory of God is a human being fully alive. That's, you've got to become. If you're born, limited consciousness, no understanding, no ability to receive, to give love, there's nothing. Just physical existence. You've got to grow. And it's something that's got to keep on going the rest of your life. Now, physical growth, well, you reach your peak. Women, around about 18. Men, around about 55, I think. But we've got to, our mind, our soul, our spirit, even if the mental faculties start going, the spirit, it's got to grow. Do you think it's important? Do you think it's possible? Here's the challenge. The older you get, the more cynical you can become about being human. I've tried. Oh, that guy won't ever change. I've met a few of them. That's how they are. You can. Jesus said, I will make you. I will make you. I will make you. Do you have a vision of what you can become? It's important. If you don't have a vision, you'll not have a desire. Why go for it? I'm asking you, what's your vision of Jesus? For some of us, to grow spiritually means to learn a few Bible verses, to say the Our Father, to, you're caught up in little things you can do. It's what will you become? What will be the outcome if you find this way of living with Him? What will become of you? It's wonderful visions of what Jesus would be practically living like when He lives your life. We also, in the Christian tradition, talk of how to find your true self in God. But lots of people talk about, in psychology, they talk about the self-actualized man, woman, now, to be integrated, fully integrated. What would it look like? Here's a study, a challenge. I did it this week and it was wonderful. Just looking at some of the ideas and the different fields, you know, of how people look at it. In the Christian tradition, this wonderful, you start with a dream of Jesus, of having a life that is stable, anchored, building your house on the rock. Doesn't matter what happens, you're not moved. You're not moved. You don't live with anger. You don't live with jealousy, with bitterness. Huh? You're not affected by the opinion of others. You're free from the opinion of others. You can give love. You can receive love. You can reflect on experience and learn from it. You break that cycle of that type of relationship that keeps repeating itself in your life because you reflect and you learn from that reflection. That's growth. It's a wide, big life. Get that vision and meet people. I remember, and I want to close with this. We've been praying with someone for a week. He was deep in his 80s, a wonderful man. Actually gave his life for this certain type of prayer, a prayer in silence. And me and Vilma was with him. We were with him for a week. And after a meeting with him, I asked her, "So how was that for you?" And she looked at me and suddenly her eyes were full of tears. And she said, "I think he's a lot like Jesus." It's important to meet people that just broaden your horizon, that infatuate your imagination of what's possible and what can happen to you. And the way it will happen, Jesus says, is if you are with me. Are you with me? What's your way of transformation? How do you put all your hope in psychology, in counseling? Do you put it in medication? Do you put it in a vacation? Do you put it in what do you think? Jesus says, if you live with me, if you find out how to share your life deeply with me and with others and become involved in my vision, you will change. You will change. So that's our invitation. That's him. And you know where you are? Perhaps you just need to find out more about him. Your imagination needs a refurbation to really clean up your thinking about him so that the condition of your soul can change, so that it is conducive for receiving the kingdom of God and following Jesus. You know where you are. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be together like this. Help us. Help us to see, open our eyes. Help every one of us just to give that next important step in the direction of following you more closely, getting to know you better. We thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. If you want to talk to somebody or somebody would like somebody to pray with you, you're welcome to go through to our chapel. And if you have any questions about Invest, there's a point in the entrance hall where you can meet with people, talk to them. Mag die genade van Here Jesus, die liefde van God en die gemeenskap van die Gees, moet elkeen van julle wees en bly in hierdie week wat voorlê. Amen.